GMAE. A late GMAE. Very late GMAE. This is your congenial host, John Willett. Not to be confused with your congenital host, or your conjunctional host, or your consequential host, or whatever you want to call me. And this is, in fact, another edition of Season 2 of Potholes and Cadillac Dreams. We're going to talk about something that affects everybody. Maybe a little, maybe a lot, maybe all the time, maybe not so much, maybe only at tax time, maybe every week when you get paid. I'm talking about, that's right, dead presidents. I'm talking about moolah. I'm talking about cash. I'm talking about money. Money is our topic this week because someone suggested it. Someone who knows me very well and knows that I have done lots of stuff in my life and knows that I have had challenges in that regard suggested that I do the topic today on money. And I thought, gee, what a wonderful thing to do. Because I've never really talked about money. I've talked about all kinds of other things in terms of potholes. But money has been a big one for me. To let you all know, I have had money, nice money, substantial money, but I don't know what you would call, you know, but I thought it was a lot of money. I've only had it twice in my life. I do not count the fact that I was born with a silver spoon in my mouth. My dad was a very successful lawyer in the metropolitan DC area, and I lived basically a country club life for, I would say, the first 18 years of my life. I never wanted for anything. I never wanted for any food. I never wanted for any traveling money. I never wanted for anything. My dad took care of all of that. And so that was my life at the time. And I liked it. I'll tell you, if you have to choose, if someone says to you, you know, we're going to make you choose today. Would you rather be poor or would you rather be rich? And depending on your definition of rich, I would always suggest that if I were you. Do not go with the poor route because the poor route is not good. It's just not good. I have fortunately or unfortunately, depending on how you look at it, I have done both. And poor was no fun at all. So I would recommend rich. Rich is good, but unfortunately what happens is when you are brought up that way, you expect you're going to be maintained that way for the rest of your natural life. You get very, very, what's the word I'm looking for? Oh yeah, it's a word that rhymes with oiled. Oh yeah, it's spoiled. Yes, I was spoiled. I was spoiled rotten. I was just a jerk, you know? And I had no reason to be, because it wasn't my money. I didn't earn it. My dad earned it, but, you know, I spent it. I spent it probably rather prolifically. Prolifically? There we go. So it was a good way to live, but it was a bad way to be brought up, if truth be known, because I did expect the finer things in life. And then when all of a sudden I had to provide that for myself, my, that was not good. I will give you a concrete example of that. My dad belonged to a country club, and some of you in the Washington, D.C. area know it. It's called Belhaven Country Club. It's gone through several renovations. It's a very nice club. It has a beautiful golf course, beautiful pool, all the amenities you could provide for. It is extremely expensive now to join, but at the time it wasn't that expensive, but that's the country club. When I say I was a country club kid, that's the country club basically I was brought up at. And when you are the family member of a country clubber, an original member, which my father was, one of the original members, you are eligible to get a junior membership. The junior membership at that time cost $3,000, and you had all the rights and privileges of a regular member of the club, which means you could go in and you could sign for things. Now, let me explain this. Instead of paying cash, which would have been the smart way for them to do this, you had an account number, basically. 602. 602, that was my father's number. So I was used to going into the pool or into the golf course or into wherever I wanted to and put 602 down, and there I went. Bought my hamburger, bought my hot dog, bought my French fries, bought my round of golf, bought my round of tennis, bought my golf balls, bought my whatever. I bought it all with 602. Well, they gave me a different number. I don't remember that number now. Thank goodness. But let's just say I used it liberally. And then the bill came. And that was quite the shock. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, moms and dads, friends and neighbors, aunts and uncles, nieces and nephews. I looked at that bill and I went, oh my God. And by the way, when you got the bill, it wasn't one of those pay by month deals. You had to pay the bill. And the bill was big. It was four figures, and I didn't have it. No way, shape, or form did I have it. And I think they knew that because they immediately said, you know something, you're not a member anymore. And they took my membership away, as well they should. Because it took me quite a while to pay for that, what I did. But in my head, I was over 21, so you couldn't get a membership unless you were over 21. So I was over 21. So there's no excuse that, oh, I'm just a dumb teenager and I don't know any better. That's a bunch of crap. I knew better. I just didn't, in my head, I didn't go, oh, you mean, yeah, this is actual money that I'm spending here. This isn't just a signature. This isn't just a number. This is actual money that I'm going to owe them for the steak and the this and then that and then that and then this. Yeah, sure is. Yeah, it's going to be. Well, didn't cross my mind at the time. So that's a prime example of a country club kid coming to terms with reality. And particularly when he's not a country club kid anymore. My father had, you know, moved on. Wasn't paying for me anymore. So, yeah, nice. It was not good. The reason I'm wearing this cap, by the way, today, I apologize to you buzz spreaders. I will let you know what this cap is. It is a lighter blue cap, and it has a cigar-smoking golf ball on it with a driver behind it, which we hope is not, the ball is not going to be struck until he has finished the cigar. But that's what I'm wearing. And his name is Stogie, and he was the mascot for the Cigar Smoking Golfers Association, the CSGA, which I founded back in 1996. He also came into play during the Manstar Bar Harbor days. We had some shirts and caps, one of which is the one I'm wearing right this very second. Made for folks to buy. I wear this because he basically also is the patron saint of my money stupidity. I wanted to say at that moment my money woes, but they weren't woes because I brought them on myself. So if you bring stuff like that on yourself, it's not really a woe. It's stupidity. Just stupidity. I started the Cigar Smoke. Well, you know what? Let's start at the very beginning. I started the Willett Sports Network back in 1985. Now, the Willett Sports Network was a wonderful idea, whose idea, by the way, has prolificated all over the world. It basically was that I would provide broadcasting to radio stations, and they would give me airtime to sell. Pretty simple. It wasn't being done at the time, except by one group, which was Metro Traffic Control. They were doing it. And basically nobody else was. And ESPN was in its infancy, and they have agreements with radio stations and what have you, but that's essentially what the deal is. So I started it, and I actually went through Metro Traffic Control and was able to get six of their stations on my fledgling network. I also got a few of their disc jockeys in various stations, one of which was a gentleman in a blues slash gospel station in Washington, D.C., who was not really cognizant of sports, but wanted the extra money. So, and he was a nice guy, and I always dealt with him in the morning. And he said, sure. I said, well, what the hell? What the hell? We went about 3 weeks, 3-4 weeks, something like that. And what would happen is they would all do their reports on carts, meaning it was like an 8-track, almost like an 8-track tape. And what I would do is take the tapes to Metro Traffic Control, and during these 6 radio stations, there are little spots that they had given me to sell. I would, you know, first of all, play my sports, and then I would, then they would play my ads, and it would be great. So I was providing sports, I was providing the ads. All they had to do is put in the cart, and away they went. And Metro Traffic Control, you know, had the system all set up, so they allowed me to use it. And it was great. Until one day, I never got a chance to check the carts, because I would just come in, I'd have to go to a couple of different stations to get these reports from these various voices, because I didn't want the same voice doing the same stuff over and over. So I picked this up from this gentleman, and along with the others, and went to Metro Traffic Control. And then I went back in the afternoon to give them their afternoon carts, and they said, "No, you're not giving us any more carts anymore." And I said, "Oh, why am I not giving you any more carts anymore? Because, gee, we're having such a fun time, and I'm actually starting to make a little money, and blah, blah. No, I think you should listen to this one." And it was the gentleman I was telling you about from the Blues and a Gospel station in Washington, D.C. And a tournament, I don't know if it was the Masters, I don't know if it was a Seniors tournament, I don't know what it was, that you know what I should say is, fortunately, I've blocked it out of my skull, because it was, yeah. Anyway, the report started, and good afternoon, we called it Sports Watch. "Good afternoon, with Sports Watch, my name is blah, blah, blah. In the world of golf, golfer Chai Rodriguez." Chai, not Chichi Rodriguez, which is what he was known as, Chichi Rodriguez. It was Chai Rodriguez. Yeah, you don't do that. You don't do that in radio. You just don't. You don't butcher, you know, particularly when one of the radio stations was, you know, kind of quasi-Hispanic. Chai Rodriguez. Yeah, all 6 of them. All 6 of them got that. All 6 of them played it. All 6 of them dumped me. Boom. Bang. And, of course, I wasn't getting any from my sponsors because, well, they had no place to go because nobody wanted to do so. I lost a ton of money, which I didn't have. Again, you're going to notice that every single one of these, except for one, actually, all of these businesses that I started were out of my own pocket. That's not very smart either, by the way, kids. If you want to do something like that, you really should not spend your own money, you know? Get a loan or something, but don't spend your own money, because what happens is you end up like me and you end up constantly, continuously broke. I also, by the way, tried this little WSN thing in Arizona when I was there. This would have been around 1989, 1990. I ended up actually way down the line merging with the Arizona News Radio Network, which was kind of cool. George Tanner, who I dealt with for years. Very nice man. Very, very nice. But yeah, the Willett Sports Network there, that started out and ended very quickly. That was a 5-day gig. And I worked literally 100 hours straight. It was, there was a lot going on, but it all was, again, out of my own pocket. I was working as a claims adjuster for Hartford Insurance, and I quit because I wanted to spend full time doing this. Well, after 5 days, it also cratered, and I owed a bunch of people a bunch of money, and now I didn't have a job. Oh, dear. So, that was fun. Again, my own pocket. The key there, friends and neighbors, my own pocket. There's a lot going on with that one, but I'm afraid that the gentleman who led me astray, who took most of my money and really led me down the primrose path to places I should not have gone. But again, big boy, They had the big boy pants on, made the decisions. They weren't good ones, but I made them. He led me down the primrose path and basically told me at the last, very last time I saw him that he was basically a crook and he was a swindler and he didn't really know what the hell he was doing. He actually said that to me at lunch. Yeah. So those are the two WSNs. I had nothing to do with Stogie, but good examples of businesses that I started that I lost lots and lots of. What were we talking about? That's right, money. And the one time I did, I actually have a backer. This was a gentleman in Minnesota who owned a bunch of cigarette stores. I was buying cigars from him to sell at what was then Jack Hancock Stadium in Washington, D.C. at the Redskins games. I did that for 1 year in 1997 and made a couple bucks, but it wasn't worth the time, effort, or trouble that we put into it, and we lost the contract the very next year. But the good thing about it was that this gentleman and I decided to open a cigar store together in Springfield, and we called it the Cigar Guy. And the reason we called it the Cigar Guy is one day during this, just before the start of a game, I had girls that would actually walk out, you know, and had little carts full of cigars, and we would sell them out in the parking lot before the games. And LeVar Arrington, number 56 in your playbook, number one in your heart, former Redskins linebacker, saw us, and then he's playing. He says, "Oh yeah, cigar guy. Hey, cigar guy. I want a cigar, cigar guy." He called me cigar guy, and every time he saw me, he called me cigar guy. And one time, I gave him a cigar, and he actually put it in his helmet, you know, sticking out of his helmet, and that was kind of cool. So, we called it the Cigar Guy, and we had a picture of me holding a cigar and a glass of wine, as part of the front of the store, which was cool. I actually have that somewhere. It's not up in the den here, but I do have that particular piece from the front of the store. It was actually lit up. It would light up at night. It was really cool. And we lasted for about a year, year and a half, and then he drove me completely crazy because he would yell and scream and holler all the time. And we were doing really well, I thought. We were taking customers away from other cigar stores. We had the biggest humidor in Northern Virginia at the time. It was well over 500 square feet. Had a huge selection. And he just wasn't happy with anything we did. Just kept yelling, screaming, hollering. Finally, I said, "Hey, listen, we've got to, you know, talk this through." And he wouldn't want to talk it through. So I said, "F you, I'm gone." Notice I cleaned that up. I don't know why I cleaned that up, but I did. I said, "F you." Good for me. You know, good for me. Not using bad language. I'm so proud of myself. Anyway, that was the only time. Imagine, the only time that I started a business without using my own money. Just amazing. And then there is, of course, the Manchester Bar Harbor, which was the one and only time that I actually had lots of money. My mom had died in 2005. And she actually saved, I think she saved every penny that she ever had that my father had been kind enough to give her or, you know, squirreled away here and there, because both my sister and I ended up with over $300,000, which is a lot of money. I mean, maybe not for you, but for me, it was a lot of money. A lot more than I ever had before in my life. And so when my second wife and I decided to divorce, one of the things I told her was, "I'm going to move to Bar Harbor." And I have always wanted to have a store in Bar Harbor. I'd always wanted to, you know, own a retail store or have a store, live in Bar Harbor, because I love Bar Harbor. And so in 2008, I moved to Bar Harbor and started the Man's Store of Bar Harbor. And I did it with my mom's money. And I bought a building, and I bought a building in a terrible location. And I started the business during the recession, which was 2008, 2009. If you remember, everybody, go back to your history books. 2008, 2009 was bad financially to open anything. Even the door of your car was just bad to open. Don't open anything. But I had blinders on because I was being divorced and I didn't want to live in Virginia anymore. And I wanted to live in Bar Harbor and I wanted to own a store. Now, what would have been really intelligent is for me to take that $300,000, invest it in several properties, rent those properties, and then live in a small apartment until such time as, things got better and then I was able to do something. But that would have been using my head, and that never happens in the way of money, ever, ever, ever. So I, being me, decided to move to Bar Harbor, buy a building in a terrible location, and it was a damn old building. It was 1897. It was old. It needed all kinds of work. I didn't care. I was going to live in Bar Harbor. I was going to live in Bar Harbor, and I was going to have a store in Bar Harbor. That was the deal. That's what I was going to do. And so we fast forward to 2014, and we have to close the store because we owe the bank too much money. And the bank takes over the building, so I lose the building. They sell the building for a lot less than what the loan is for, so I have to go through bankruptcy. I do not recommend that either. I don't recommend growing up rich and then not having the rich stuff around you for the rest of your life, having to make it on your own. And I don't recommend going through bankruptcy because it hangs with you for 7 years. Note that my wife and I bought this place, the one I'm in right this very moment, we bought this in 2022. That is when we actually had the availability to. We had some credit. We had some, we did not have this thing hanging around our neck, this millstone, this albatross, this weight, this thing hanging around our necks. We had gotten rid of it after 7 years, and that's how we were able to buy this building. Oh, by the way, we were also able to buy this building because my father died. Yeah, my father died. And by the time he had gone through his life, he didn't really have that much left. He had used to tell me, and this is in regards to money as well, he used to say, son, for every $5 you make, make sure you save $4. That's good advice. I mean, think about that. You can write that down. If you want to take a paper and a pen and write that down, I can wait a minute. You got it? Okay. For every $5, save $4. That's really good advice. Unfortunately, my father would make $5 and spend $6 because he owed the IRS at the time of his death $2.5 million. That's a lot of money. That's even more than $300,000. In case you're doing the math out there, that's more money than $300,000. That's a lot more than $300,000. $2.5 million. But what was weird is he did have an asset. He had one asset left, and that was his house. And that was actually the house I grew up in. That was actually the house that when he and my mother divorced, he actually bought it from her and moved back in. He had the house. Unfortunately, the house went through foreclosure and we got half of the money that we should have gotten from it. And it wasn't even half of what my mother had given me. But it was enough to have a down payment on this house. Yes. In Parrot Lane, in Latitude Margaritaville. So, both my parents helped me with purchases of buildings. This one, I think, is going to be a lot more stable than the last one because I'm not going to run a business out of it unless you want to call this. At this point, this is not a business, by the way. I'm not making anything off this. I'm just chatting away with you folks and, just all bubbling giggly and telling you all about my woes and about all the stuff I went through with money and all that good stuff. But it is a little more stable here, which is good. So my parents did provide me the only times that I ever had any adequate capital to do anything with in my entire life was because my parents died. That's pretty sad if you really think about it. I was also going to chat about the inequity of the world and the fact that NFL quarterbacks make $50 million a year and upwards, and there are other athletes that make millions of dollars. And there was a Japanese gentleman who was signed by the Los Angeles Dodgers for $700 million for 10 years. And he used to be able to pitch and hit and was considered the best player in baseball. But he had Tommy John surgery, so we don't know if he can still pitch. But they still got $700 million over 10 years. That's crazy. That's insane. Throwing a football for $50 million a year is crazy. It's insane. The amount of money that you pay for tickets to go see washed-up has-beens try to play the same music they've been playing for the last 40 years is crazy, and it's insane. I will speak in specifics here. I love Bruce Springsteen. I do. I have all kinds of albums. I have all kinds of his stuff downloaded into my phone. He gave the greatest shows I ever saw in my life. He gave the greatest shows I ever saw in my life back in 78, 79, 80, 84, blah, 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 blah. Not now. No, not now. He's 73 years old. No, I'm sorry. No. The Rolling Stones. I love the Rolling Stones. I love them. I've got lots of their music. I've seen them. They were a great act. They were a great act. They were a great act. They're in their 80s. Stop. I saw a picture of Rod Stewart. Rod Stewart would give a great performance. Oh my God, he was so good in performance. He just, you know, he would forget the words occasionally, but what the hell, you didn't care because the band was tight and he was good and blah, blah, blah. And this was, you know, 30, 40, 20 years ago, and now it's just sad. It's flipping sad. And they're charging hundreds of dollars because people like me have been working all their lives, if they've been intelligent, but some of us haven't. Some of us are still working, making money. But they charge $600, $700, $200, even $200, $300, $400. No, I just saw a picture of George Thorogood. He looks like he ate children. He's huge. And he doesn't play the guitar that much. He used to be thin and wiry and sexy, and he would play the guitar all night, and he would do all kinds of stuff, and he's just sweaty. He's just sweaty, and no, not going to pay the money. Not going to pay the money. I have really, really good memories of some of the greatest shows I've ever seen in my life. I'm not going to get those screwed up. No. And to pay that kind of money for people who aren't at the top of their game anymore is I'm sorry. I think it's first of all stupid that they charge it, and then it's equally stupid that people are paying it. I don't care. I don't need to relive my childhood that much. Speaking of reliving childhood, I have to bring this up because it bothers me to no end. And I'm seeing my idols, the people I followed all my life, and I'm looking at them, and they look different. They look different. Now, they've made lots and lots and lots and lots of money. Money. So, with their lots and lots and lots and lots of money, they have decided to augment their face. Face lifts, face draws, face this, face that, injections, projections, adding things, moving things around, breaking things, readjusting things. I don't know what the hell they're doing, but Dolly Parton looks like a freak. Jane Fonda looks like a freak. Stevie Nicks, who I love, her voice, was the queen of rock and roll, as far as I was concerned. She looks like a flipping freak. I don't get it, boys and girls. I don't get it. Maybe you guys can explain it to me. Maybe one of you can write me and say, the reason they do this, or we do this, or I do this, or whatever, John, is because I don't get it. I don't get it. I think, let me just speak to any of the women that are listening to me. I think you all are beautiful. I think you all are beautiful at 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70. I've seen beautiful women at 80. I've seen beautiful women at 90. You age gracefully. You do the things that you're supposed to be doing. You don't augment and stretch and tighten and inject and it's just stupid. It's just stupid. It bothers me to no end. It bothers me when I see somebody, and now it looks like 30-year-olds and 35-year-olds and 40-year-olds are doing the same damn thing. I don't get it. I don't get it. Why are you doing this to yourself? You don't look the same. It was like when Renee Zellweger, I love Renee Zellweger. I think she's so flipping talented. And then she comes out and there's a picture of her and I didn't know it was Renee Zellweger. I had no clue. Not the foggiest clue. I looked at this picture and said, who's that, honey? Well, that's Renee Zellweger. No. That's what I said. No. She doesn't even look like herself anymore. She doesn't even look like herself anymore. I just saw, who was it that sang the national anthem at the Super Bowl? I can't think of her name. Reba McEntire. Reba McEntire. Sorry I yelled that, boys and girls. All the Buzzsprouters just went, oh, my God. Reba McEntire didn't look like Reba McEntire. Unless she had the red hair, unless she heard the voice, you look at her and I don't know who that is. I have no clue. No earthly clue who that is. But you get lots of money and you don't want to age. You don't want to, you want to stay 30 forever? No, I don't. I'm 68. I'm not going to do any of that crap. I mean, I'm going to get old. I'm going to get old and I'm going to die. We all do. And I'm not going to embarrass myself by going through 55 surgeries trying to stay 30. It's not going to happen. And I hope you guys don't either. I don't think anybody that I'm among your 24 dozen or 4 dozen folks that are listening now, I don't think my audience would do that. I just don't. I think you guys are too smart for that. I can't see it. Anyway, smart for that. I can't see it. Anyway, my God, we're at the 32-minute mark. Thank you guys for hanging in. I'll be very, very quick. Demi Bennett, please. Floridians, I know she lives here. Please, Floridians, if you listen to me and you've ever had any dealings with her, I really want to talk to her. Holy cow. She's really something. I saw her at another thing. I won't give too much away, but I saw something on a thing, and she's just terrific. Oh, my heavens to Betsy. And then Christy Martin is, I think, having her event tonight. And if you are listening to me in Myrtle Beach at all, if you're listening to me in Myrtle Beach and you're a boxing fan, it's called Mayhem 8. It's in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. I don't know the name of the location, but I know that she's done a lot of advertising there, and I know you would have a good time, and I know it's a great card, and I know that she puts on a great, great show. So if you are in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and you are a boxing fan, by all means, go see Christy Martin Promotions and Mayhem 8. They are playing tonight, and it will be a hoot and a holler. I'm absolutely certain of it. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, moms and dads, thank you very much for your attention. Thank you very much for listening to my rants and raves about money. Yes, it's one of my big potholes, but with the purchase of this place, maybe it might turn into a Cadillac dream. I certainly hope so. In the meantime, have a great weekend. Thank you very much for allowing me a one-week stay. We had some challenges, but I'm still trying to talk to you guys every Friday, and we may be able to maybe do a special one next week, like midweek or something, just to do something different. I hope you have a great, as I said, because we've done this before where I've said great weekend about 14 times, and then you're like, oh, maybe she shut up about the weekend. Have fun, and I will talk to you guys next week. Bye.